Bienvenido. See a few empty spaces, and we kind of sit there in our Bible class hour, but there's a reason for that. Mentioned those in the announcements, and many of our number are experiencing illnesses. Others are traveling, so certainly thankful for your desire to be with us today. But not only to enjoy, as I always say, friendship and fellowship, but to involve ourselves as a congregation in worship together. So appreciate that time, this time together. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. We'll talk about the wonders of Jesus. I listed 7. There's obviously more, but kind of use that familiar theme, 7 wonders. So first, by way of introduction, Paul writes to Christians. Several times he made reference to Jesus being a man, or like us. Physically born, as we are. For example, in Galatians 4, verse 4, it says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Oh, yeah. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, it says that he took the form of a servant, made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as men, he humbled himself. In Romans 8, verse 3, it says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Wow, like us. So Jesus did come in the flesh, had physical qualities or features that others had, just like we have. I've listed a couple in your introduction. You know, Jesus was hungry, became physically weary, and those are noted in your introduction. He was thirsty, showed literal agony. Oh, we've been there. I suppose anyone would have that agony if we were in a similar circumstance. Anticipating the cross, the Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Luke records, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat were as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So Jesus went through an agonizing emotion, knowing what was about to happen. If I knew that I was going to be crucified tomorrow, I think I'd do the same. I would be in agony and pray. Jesus had the ability to weep just like us. He wept and cried at the death of Lazarus, his friend. He cried over the city of Jerusalem because they would not repent. He cried here in the Garden of Gethsemane, anticipating that crucifixion. It's interesting that the Gospels do not record his tears in the garden, but the Hebrew writer does. In Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death. In Luke 2, verse 52, it says Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature just as a normal young boy would. In Luke 1, verse 80, it says he grew, waxed strong in spirit. I don't know if Jesus was ever put in time out. I don't know if he's ever sent to his room. If he had to spend time in the principal's office. But he was a boy just like any other. There are several other things about Jesus that are kind of interesting, but they're still not a wonder. For example, the date, the place of his birth. I don't know the exact date of his birth. Man's calculation, or man has given the assignment of December 25th, perhaps because we usually celebrate the birth dates of people. You know, our holidays are Washington's birthday or Lincoln's birthday. They become the holidays, but no doubt there were a lot of people born on December 21st and in Bethlehem. Nothing unusual about that at all. But Jesus never gave instructions to honor or remember his birth. But he did leave instructions to remember his death, didn't he? And that is to be done every week. And we did that this morning when we observed the Lord's Supper. And Paul, in his writings to the churches, reminded the brethren of Jesus instituting his supper before he was crucified. And he gave that illustration, take the bread and take the cup, and this do in remembrance of me. But there's not any information in the Bible about for us to remember his birth in a religious or ritualistic way. The social standing of Jesus' parents is not a wonder. As far as we can tell, they were basically poor. They made the offering of the poor 2 turtle doves, according to the old law. Jesus' father was a carpenter, so he's a tradesman. There was other recorded child experience in Jesus' life. It's still not a wonder, but in Luke chapter 2, leaving Jerusalem, Jesus stayed behind and his parents didn't know it. After a little ways down the road, they said, oh, where's Jesus? And he was back in the temple and they had to make a U-turn and go back and get him. And it's not unusual for children to be separated from parents, especially, you know, maybe a department store or grocery store for a moment. I don't know if you've ever left your child at a roadside station on a vacation, but it happens. Nothing unusual about that. The length of Jesus' life is not a wonder. You know, we always single out Methuselah in the Bible for being the oldest. You know, 969 years, according to Genesis chapter 5, verse 27. And then he died. Did you know Methuselah's grandfather is the second oldest in the Bible? Methuselah's grandfather, you know his name? His name is Jared. Our oldest son's name, Jared. It's in Genesis 5, verse 20. All the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. You know the third oldest? Noah. Genesis 9, verse 29, all the days of Noah were 950, and he died. You know, Jared's son, Methuselah's father, did not die. His name's Enoch. Jared had a son named Enoch. Enoch had a son named Methuselah. Jesus lived 33 years. Nothing unusual or a wonder about the length of his life. His physical appearance doesn't make them any different or distinguished. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 2, when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. So he wouldn't have been a contest winner, a Mr. Universe, perhaps, in our generation. Jesus never traveled far from his homeland. He's not known as a world traveler or famous explorer. Jesus was never known as a winning athlete, president of a college or university. Wasn't distinguished as an inventor. No mention is made of Jesus taking a blue ribbon or a gold medal or a bronze plaque. What's so wonderful about Jesus? I've just spent about 10 minutes talking about all the things that don't make him wonderful. And in the next 10 minutes, I'll take you through the rest of the outline. That'll be a wonder.
What a wonder.
What a wonderful thing. So let's take a look at the things that distinguish Jesus. What is there about him that should put us in awe? What's so unique about Jesus that sets him apart from everybody else? Why would we assemble this morning and give our worship to God in His name? Something about that man that we need to note and be in awe of. Number one is his birth, the manner of his birth. It was in our scripture reading this morning. The method of Jesus' birth puts him in a class all by himself. See, no one else has ever been born like that. No one else ever will be born like that. That's a distinguishing mark. That's one of the things that makes Jesus so wonderful. The manner of his birth. He's a heavenly child with an earthly mother. He's an earthly child with a heavenly father. So if you think about Jesus, why should we be in awe? Why should we come and gather in His name? Because of the manner of His birth, number one. Number two is His life. Jesus is the only person who ever lived a sinless life. I can't do that. I've already messed up. It was back in 1998. No, I messed up before that and since then. But all of us have. None of us can say, present ourselves before God and say, God, you know that I've said everything correctly. I've done everything rightly. Can't do that. But Jesus, in Hebrews 4, verse 15, says, in all points he's been tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, he felt the struggle. Felt the urge. There was a temptation placed there. And he overcame. No sin. His enemies searched diligently to find just one wrongdoing. And finding none after his resurrection, they hired false witnesses to testify against him. Had to hire someone. Pilate, during his trial, said, I find no fault in the man. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, it says, concerning Jesus, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Wow. A distinctive life. That's what sets him apart. That's a wonder. Because we can't match that. Nobody can. Number three is vicarious death. We're all going to die. But no one's death will accomplish what Jesus' death did. Well, I have an organ donor sticker on my driver's license. So when I die, if a certain situation exists, may benefit a few. Maybe. You know, in war, there we've read about soldiers who give their life to save a few or a company of fellow soldiers. We've read in our history about firefighters putting their life in jeopardy to save a family or other people. Remember the Twin Towers in New York back on September 11, 2001? Where people were running away from the danger and the firefighters running toward them to save others, sacrificing their own life. But Jesus' death is different. Jesus' death benefits a world of people for all time. And even here, 2,000 years later, we still benefit from that death that took place back then. Bible says in Romans 5, verse 6, for while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. All of them. All the ungodly. And then Paul gives the illustration, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. God commends his own love toward us. Now while we, oh, all of us, the we, were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we have songs that reflect that. You know, the song, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." We sing "Rock of Ages," meaning in reference to Jesus, "Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Sing a song with the question, "What can wash away my sins?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. So his vicarious death sets him apart. It's a wonder. Number four is his resurrection. Jesus is not the only one in the Bible to have died and been resurrected. We know that. But he's the only one who was resurrected for the benefit of others. His death and resurrection offered salvation. And Jesus died and was resurrected to never die again. He still lives. In Romans 4, verse 25, Jesus was delivered or died for our sins. That's right. Raised for our justification. His resurrection benefits us. That's a wonder. Stand in awe of that. Wow. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain, and we're yet in our sins. Well, I don't want that. The resurrection of Jesus benefits me, even to this day. Number five is his ascension. You know, in our lifetime, we've witnessed people being lifted up in the air. You know, when I see my grandkids, have I told you about my grandkids? You know, we take our grandsons, oh, lift them up in the air, oh, you sugar. Yeah. And we bring them back down again. We've known of people being launched into space, but they come back and return. But when Jesus was lifted up, when he was ascended, he didn't use a launching pad, and he didn't have a booster rocket, and he didn't have a space suit and gear, and he didn't have any other kind of man-made technology. And he hasn't come back down yet. But he will. But that's a wonder. That's something that sets him apart. That he was lifted up without any help of all these man-made technology. And he's still there at the Father's right hand. His ascension. In Acts 1 verse 9, when Jesus spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And then the next thing is, in your notes, he's coming again. He's coming back down. In the same verse, in Acts 1 verse 10, while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel. They said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," same one, "which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." That's something wonderful. And a wonder, not only about his ascending, but that he will come back. Then the last one I have in your notes is his invitation. There's some other things I have in your notes that I'm not saying, but we'll press on. His invitation. Jesus is the only one qualified to make this offer. That's a wonder. That's a wonder. In Matthew 11, verse 29, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." To whom will you go to get these things that Jesus is offering? There's not anyone else. You can't go to anyone or any group or any council or any committee to get these things that Jesus is offering. He is wonderful in his invitation. People strive to go other places. They go to the self-help section of the bookstore. They look at all the different offers offering solutions and help, and you can do this. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus becomes the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. That's what we want. None but Jesus has died and been resurrected and ascended and will come again to make this offer. Nobody else. So you think about what's so wonderful about Jesus. Why should we recognize him? What sets him apart from everyone else who has ever lived? Why should I bow down? Why should I submit to him? Because these are listed seven things that set him apart, that make him wonderful, and should move us to present ourselves before him with an attitude that says, speak and I'll listen. To come before him and said, that says, command and I'll obey. If you send, I'll go. And we do that because of his majesty and his wonder. So we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation at the close of the lesson. Because it may, just knowing about this Jesus and his wonderfulness, hopefully it'll move you to obedience. Put yourself before him his will. So we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Whosoever will, they come. If you haven't done so already. Let's stand together. Sing the song that this is selected for. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, come to him in his way. Rather for sins, rest, brethren, for strength, encouragement, and prayers. We can certainly honor that if you'll come.